Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Lindsay Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Survivors, welcome to episode 117 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
LT!
Yeah!
All right. So, hello, LT. All right. So we should explain a little for the people that missed the last episode. We announced on episode 116 that Mark has decided to leave the network and is no longer associated with this podcast either. So we reached out to see if anyone would be interested in taking over, and we are pleased to announce that the new co-host of The Walking Dead Talk Through is LT.
Yay!
Yes, thank you, LT. We are delighted to have you as joining the Walking Dead Talk Through, and for that matter, Talk Through Media Network. So, I know you guys have heard LT and his feedback over the last couple of seasons, but anything you want to just say to the listeners?
I'm really excited to be on the podcast. I hope that I can bring my perspective to things, being a long-term fan, and I'm just excited to be here and ready to get on with business.
Sweet.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. So I know when I told Kyle that you were interested in doing it, he was practically jumping out of his seat.
Well, especially for With Fear coming up, because I loved LT's feedback from the seasons.
Yeah, you guys can going on about gasoline, bullets, you name it.
Yeah, I fell asleep in my office and I woke up in a podcast booth.
All right. So we are going to be covering two things this week. We are starting with, of course, the season sort of finale, the original season finale of The Walking Dead, season 10, episode 16, titled A Certain Doom. And then after we've kind of finished that, we are also going to cover less exhaustively the pilot episode, or the first episode of The Walking Dead World Beyond, of course, season one, episode one, titled Brave. And then we're probably not going to cover it in any detail after this, unless we get some feedback for it. So, I guess it can be, however much we get, it'll be up to you guys. But we're going to focus on Fear the Walking Dead. And it's worth saying that the Walking Dead cast, and we've had a good relationship with them over the years, Jason and Lucy have decided to do the opposite strategy. They are covering The Walking Dead and World Beyond, and they are skipping Fear. So if you're going to be wanting World Beyond coverage, go to them. If you want Fear coverage, go to us. So, all right. So for the pseudo season finale. And the reason why I say that is originally this episode was going to be the season finale, but thanks to COVID and thanks to, you know, all their plans for what they're going to do as far as wrapping up The Walking Dead after season 11, they have announced that there's going to be an additional 6 episodes added to season 10 that are going to play sometime in 2021. So this was originally going to be the season finale, but now there's like a season 10.5 or, you know, season 10 with an asterisk on it. Anyway, so this episode has a story by Jim Barnes and Eli Jornet and Corey Reed. And the teleplay is by Corey Reed. And it is directed by executive producer and, you know, longtime bigwig on The Walking Dead, of course, makeup guru extraordinaire Greg Nicotero. The description from AMC.com is as follows, and it's short. And it was like this for 6 months. They never changed it. Beta engages the final battle of the Whisperer War. That's it. Nothing else, nothing about any of the other stories. So, all right. Well, we'll start with you, LT. What did you think of A Certain Doom?
Well, I liked A Certain Doom. I gave it 8.75 out of 10, burning down the house, or Talking Heads, Walking Dead.
Yep. I should have had that ready. Darn it. Maybe I'll put that in. All right. Kyle, what did you think?
Like I said, when we're doing lower decks, it was just like my rating seemed to be based on emotions. And after all this time that we haven't had anything on TV to watch and missing out on the finale, I gave it my highest. 10, Maggie's back and she has a cool friend.
Well, I am kind of in the middle between you guys, but I'm closer to LT's side than and Kyle, your side. I'm going to give it a 9, and I'm going to give it a 9. Beatrice, you took the, you made the ultimate sacrifice and sacrificed your ribs. Because, oh my God, they eviscerated her, didn't they?
Oh, they eviscerate everyone.
Well, yes, but they especially eviscerated her.
Yeah, so. this was back to what's his face when Glenn did the dumpster Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Yes. Yeah.
That was, it was something.
Okay, so we have some listener ratings. LT, why don't you start?
All right. Glynis from Toronto says, 8 out of 10, beta I'd kill.
And Deanna from Detroit gave it 8 out of 10. Finally, the finale has arrived.
Renee from Atlanta gives it 6 out of 10. What in heck? With a lot of shrugging
emojis.
Emojis, yes. All right, so now it's time for Awesome Sauce. Awesome
Sauce! All right. Deanna from Detroit says, Gabriel's lone standoff against the Whisperers. He was kicking some Whisperer butt, then right when we thought he was done for, Maggie!
Yep. Next is Glenn's from Toronto. She says, Maggie being back and hugging Judith. The Masked Ninja saving Gabriel in the nick of time. And who is that? Herschel Jr.? Beta's kill by Norman and assist from Negan. And Alpha's mask floating down to end her era for good.
Renee from Atlanta says, Maggie freaking Green is back with, what was that, shock, hugging, yeah, hugging emoji times 5. All right, so now it's time for our awesome sauce.
Okay, well, for my awesome sauce, I really liked Ezekiel's speech to Eugene after he broke his bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that was good.
You know, Eugene's sitting there, has the little trickle of blood running down his forehead. I can only imagine he went over the handlebars and, you know, Ezekiel gave another, you know, pep talk speech to get him back moving again. The other one that I really enjoyed was when they were still in the tower and everybody was in the gut ponchos moving out through the crowd of walkers, and Lydia, and forgive me, I can't remember her name, but she was the kingdom archer, and they were pegging the whisperers in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Diane.
That was, I mean, come on, that was a genius move because they were worried about getting through the crowd, and all it's going to take for the whisperer is they get thumped, they break, you know, they break character for a moment, and, you know, they're walker chow. That way, crowd moves, you keep rolling. Absolutely thought that was a really well-written, well-shot scene.
Yeah, it was. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, I didn't have anything put down because it was just kind of like trying to like come up with it. And like, obviously, I don't like to like repeat what other people have said already, but it's just like that whole scene or just like there was definitely, I think the awesome sauce, and maybe it's just because it's been a while, but I enjoyed that, like the whole feeling of this episode in the very beginning was just that heightened threat level, and there was just the excitement, and like that just built upon like that scene when they, you know, obviously it's like, hey, the one thing I did think that was like, they're using, you know, the guts, you know, camouflage, but they didn't put any of it on their face like they do in fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just like, it was just on their coats.
Well, yeah. And they didn't use a lot of it either, which, yeah. I know is kind of, worth mentioning later. Yeah.
But I mean, it was like just that whole, like, here we're seeing their plan, this and that. They go into the room or to go at the front entrance and they're opening the door. Like the excitement and the feeling of like suspense, I thought on this episode was just so like, I enjoyed that so much. And then, yeah, with the archers, like keeping an eye, like, oh yeah, you have like a whisperer trying to like sneak, you know, come up and stab them, but they're the ones that get like shot. And then the bloodiness and the craziness because you're in the middle of a horde of how they just really amped up the fact that it's like, I guess, I don't know, walkers have very sharp fingernails. They can immediately rip you apart in like 2 seconds.
Yep. I know.
It was good though. I enjoyed it. It was that to me, I'm like, that was been a while since we've seen any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I have to bring up the fact that they finally brought back Connie. So I will say to that, it's good to see her back. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that she has been found by, what's his name again? What's the guy's name? Virgil. Yeah, that weasel. And don't accept anything to drink from him because it's probably going to give you a nice little like mushroom trip or something. Yeah. So anyway, good to see her back. I wasn't sure if we were ever going to see her back alive because, you know, we know in real life, she has been cast in, you know, a big role in a Marvel movie. So anyway, so that's good. Glad to see you're back. Hope that there'll be some continuation of the relationship or possible relationship with Daryl. I would love to see that progress. I mentioned it in my rating. Beatrice's gruesome death was awesome. We haven't had a death like that in a long time. And, you know, and I guess the whisperer that also went down at the same time got a similar death. So those walkers, just like I said, they eviscerated her and the whisperer, and there wasn't much left to her. Like, it was pretty much a very quick death once she went down. And, you know, she's like yelling back to Carol to, you know, take the backpack, and Carol, you know, quite rightly just kind of like looks away, because she knows if she tries to do that, she's dead too. And I also like the fact that, Lydia was the one to go back and get it. So, which I didn't even realize at first that that was Lydia. I'm going to come right out and say it. At first, I thought that it was a whisperer that suddenly like switched ranks.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, but it was Lydia, and I love the fact that it was Lydia. I thought that was a great plot twist for that to happen, and I can totally see. I'm going to call it now, and this is we'll finally know if this is going to happen like 3 years from now, but I'm guessing that the third cast member of this new spinoff show is going to be Cassidy McClincy. I bet you any money that when this spinoff with Carol and Daryl comes about, Lydia is going to be one of the cast members on it. So let's see if I'm right when that happens.
What?
But anyway, I'm going to be right. I just know it. Either she's going to either it's going to be she's going to be in the cast, or she will die just before the show starts and they'll have to deal with it. So we'll see. Second thing, or actually, I guess it's not the second thing. It's the third thing. And this is not part of the show, but sometimes I like to do this. I'm going to give an awesome sauce to Nicholas Cantu from the, and okay, if we were doing the World Beyond stuff as, you know, awesome sauce and all that stuff, I would do it there, but I'll do it here just because it's awesome. He had a nice little podcast set up. He had, I recognize that it was a Samson microphone. I forget the name of it, but it's like a really nice microphone. And he had the whole like arm, you know, set up and that. And I'm guessing he's done some podcasting in his day. So, good on him. So anyway, it was nice to see someone that had like a much better like audio setup instead of like having earbuds and all that stuff.
So. I know he was like ready. Like everybody else is just like in front of their computer, you know, like whatever, doing their Zoom call. But he had like, oh, here's my mic. Here's like, I've got my, you know, good proper headsets. And like, I've always questioned that, like in the beginning of this pandemic, when we're seeing all these Zoom calls and all, or like even on like news and they're interviewing someone, and I'm just like, buy a mic.
I know.
Like, it's like, you don't, like, they don't put headphones on, and so you can hear the background noises, and it interrupts the whole entire, like, broadcast, you know, because there's, like, that person needs to be muted.
You can get, just so you guys, so people know, you can get a really good setup for, like, about $100, and that's all you need to get started, and you can even get, like, a so-so setup with like a USB microphone and like a kit from Amazon for like $50 and under. So there's no excuse at this point, you know, there really isn't. So anyway,
especially if you're famous.
Exactly.
Like if you're making Norman Reedus money, you know, but then, you know, Norman Reedus can use the excuse that he's Norman Reedus. He doesn't need to have a nice podcast microphone. But anyway, all right. So that's it for our awesome sauce for this episode. So let's move on to the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
Okay. Glenis from Toronto says, TWD has been spoiling their own show lately.
Yes, I agree.
She says, Andrew Lincoln is leaving The Walking Dead.
Okay. He already left, so I don't get it, Glynis. Why are you saying that? This is like, this is something from like, what, 2018, I think? Anyway.
Well, revealing Maggie's return beforehand.
Yeah, they kind of
spoiled it.
They did because they had that preview, and unfortunately, you know, I don't think they completely knew the fact that, you know, that preview, that opening scene would like be sitting there for 6 months.
Right. Yep.
6 effing months waiting, literally 6 months that we had to wait. So I think that has something to do with it.
She goes on to say, Angela Kang on Zoom stating Maggie and the masked person are connected.
Okay, so I know what she's talking about because I saw this. There was a Talking Dead that happened the week before the episode.
Yeah.
And on it, Angela Kang mentioned it. So, yeah, she spoiled it. So, yeah.
She says, and knowing Carol wasn't going to jump as the Daryl and Carol series is waiting in the wings.
Yeah. I have to agree with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That is a problem. I mean, anytime that Carol and Daryl are in peril now, you just know she's going to, they're both going to survive, but right. You kind of knew it anyway.
Right. But then it kind of made, like, because of the fact that it's been like, oh, if this happened when it was supposed to, you know, whatever, but it was like, oh, we had 6 months to basically like, oh yeah, we know. Oh, now there's a spinoff. It's like, okay, now we already know, like kind of reinforcing that what we already knew. It's like, yeah, they're probably safe to being like, okay, now they're very safe.
They're very, very, right. Very safe.
We always had those fears that Carol might go, you know, or like something might happen to her. But now it's like, oh, yep, they're fine for the rest of however.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, those two have a plot device shield, but we don't know about any other ones, any other character. Like, for example, Negan. Negan could be in the new series. He could be in the Tales from the Walking Dead, the other series. Mm-hmm. He could be dead, you know, in season 11. We don't know. So Jeffrey Dean Morgan doesn't have a plot device shield.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, that's good. And practically no one else, you know, has, for that matter, like Kari Payton, you know, he has cancer, and well, not Kari Payton, but Ezekiel has cancer, and we could have like pointed out the fact that, you know, you're probably going to die in season, I thought he was going to die in season 10, but looks like he's not going to die in season 10, or if he does die in season 10, it'll be season 10 supplemental. That's what I'll call it. That's a good way to, like, ship logs, captain's log supplemental. Anyway, so he could die, but if wherever he's going, if this is the Commonwealth, they may still have cancer treatment, so he may survive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he may get his thyroid tumor or whatever, like, just might be gone. So who knows?
Who knows?
So, yeah, so he may be still around at the end. We don't know. So maybe it'll be Ezekiel and Daryl fighting over Carol in the new show.
Oh, well.
Probably not, but
yeah.
But yeah, we don't know.
Her last comment is, they're trying too hard to keep viewers, get new viewers, and get viewers back that have been lost, and as a result, it removes the surprise, shock, and all element. Oh, well. And there's a frowny emoji.
Well, yes. And I would agree with that. And they have lost the will to kill people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is, but part of what I was going to bring up in my weak sauce, but I'll bring it up here because it fits. The only one that they killed from our side were no names, people that we don't even have a name for, and Beatrice. Okay. Now, let me give you a little story on Beatrice. The last time we've seen Beatrice was the episode that Rick pseudo died. Like the last episode of Rick, season 9, episode 5. Okay. We did not even know that she was alive in this time, right? So we knew that she was still alive like 2.5 years into the apocalypse, but until this episode, we did not know that she was alive 10 years into the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So that's not so good. And the people, the other people that died, again, we don't even know who they were. They're just nondescript, you know, they didn't even kill like, what's his name's girlfriend? Luke's girlfriend. What's her name again? I can't think of it. But they didn't even kill her. You know, they didn't kill
anybody.
Yeah, there were people that they could have killed. None of them I would have wanted them to kill, but they didn't kill Gabriel. Now, Gabriel in the comic died in similar circumstances.
Yep.
But he didn't die here. Instead, he was saved by the ninja. And we don't even know who the ninja is, because the ninja is just someone that wasn't in the, isn't even in the comic from what I understand.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Kind of another Michonne.
Yeah.
In a sense, but
yeah.
Well, think about it. That the last big kill was the Pikes. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and that was a big kill. I mean, there were some like big characters that died, and some annoying characters. Henry. But yeah, I mean, you know, they killed Enid, they killed Tara, they killed Henry, and there were some others as well, you know, some that were not as big, but
they went through, you know, they've gone through for years, and they'll kill one or two or three through the course of a season, that, you know, somebody would get caught out in the open, somebody would do something stupid, they'd get killed. Then we had that little lull. Then I think after you had Negan killing Abraham and Glenn, I think a lot of people got really upset that the big core folks got killed. And I think that the backlash from the Pikes was also part of that. So maybe they're to the point where they're kind of skittish to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. No, I wish they were.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's the precedent of the thing. It's,
yeah, they have to kill. I mean, unfortunately, they need to kill, and it is part of the show. You know, it's right. It's like Game of Thrones in a lot of ways. I mean, people died on Game of Thrones, and you expect that. People die in The Walking Dead. It's part of the makeup of the show. You know, people come into the show, they leave the show. Even Rick left the show. Even Carl left the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if they can't kill characters in this, you know, the season finale, like, you know, when can they? And it was a similar thing, I think, in season 8. They didn't kill anybody. And season 9, well, they killed a bunch of people the penultimate episode, which we were just talking about, the Pike. But during the blizzard, they didn't kill anybody that I remember. But still, like, no. I don't know. You would have expected somebody to die.
Yeah.
But Beatrice to only be the only one that died, and other people that we don't even know. Of course, yes, villains died. Of course, Beta died. Yes, Beta died. Beta was a big character to die. But guess what? Beta was a villain. Beta's supposed to die. Beta's supposed to die. He's the villain.
Right.
So.
Yep. No, I mean, maybe, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, this is what Walking Dead is all based upon. It's just the fact that it's like, oh yeah, there's the, no one's safe, this and that. But now we've gotten to a point where it's like, okay, well, we don't, like, you lose all the suspense, or almost like, oh my gosh, surprise or whatever, to being like, oh, well, none of our characters are like going to die. So it's just like, oh yeah, so and so who we don't even really know.
Yeah.
Okay. And it does it. Then it loses it all because it's just like, okay, well then it's a lot of just people fighting. And yeah, so like beta is obviously bad guys always lose.
we got some bigger deaths earlier in the season. You know, we got Sadiq. We got Earl. Earl wasn't as big, but Sadiq was a big one. And that was a huge, like gut wrenching, like just like punch in the gut type of death, the way it went down. Cause I did not see that coming, you know, but okay. But you expect in the season finale, you'd get more.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Let's keep going.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Next is Renee from Atlanta, and her weak sauce is the fight between Beta, Negan, and Daryl was horrible. Too freaking short. I wanted them to tag team Beta. I'm blaming it on the COVID because I blame everything else on the COVID. Shrug, shrug, shrug. I'm used to epic fights on The Walking Dead, so I was truly disappointed. Other than that, the finale was okay. I feel it would have raised, it would have aired as a finale when it was supposed to. Parentheses. Dang COVID again. I would have been less critical. The dang stormtroopers, though. Wow. Our folks cannot catch a break. I'm looking forward to Fear, though. Big hug emojis. Yep. I can't disagree with the whole Beta and Negan Daryl. it happened in a blink of an eye almost.
Yeah, it did.
And in reply to Renee's Facebook comment, it was Tara Cotton Diller from Atlanta, and she said the fight was too short. I couldn't blink because I would have missed it.
Yep, it was too short. I agree. Totally. All right, Dieta from Detroit is next. She says, "Walking past the dead, scarcely covered in anything. I'm not understanding how that little dust of walker guts allowed them to blend in." I totally agree with you, Dieta. I totally agree. They had clean faces, all except for Kelly, who actually had a dead mask on and who blended in perfectly. Lydia had a mask on, but she came in later, right? But I think they gave Kelly a mask because of her hearing issues, you know, she's hearing impaired, so she would need something to give her a little more cover. And I imagine that they didn't have like a supply of masks for everyone, so they probably only had like one or two, so they gave her one of them. That's my guess. But as far as how little they put on, I totally agree. It wasn't even as much as they did in the second episode of The Walking Dead, Guts. You know, there really wasn't a lot. So, I don't know. It seemed not enough. So, yes, that was a solution for them all to escape. Just pretend to be the Whisperers by wearing the dead faces. Like, they solved the problem except for the kids. It wouldn't have worked, but they could have moved the herd away. Maybe they were scared they'd be infected in the eyes, like Gabriel? Maybe. That's possible. Not sure why they didn't put any on the face, but I don't think that they did put stuff on the face in that Guts episode either. So, and we think about them putting guts on the face from Fear. Yeah. Where they put way too much guts on everywhere. I mean, Nick used to like ensconce himself in guts. So, all right, that is it for listener weak sauce. LT, what do you have for weak sauce?
Well, I had a couple things. The big issue that I had as far as weakness was, I understand they had a lot of stuff they had to move to get the sound equipment to the wagon, but the fact they had to split up all the necessary components to get them out just seemed like that there could have maybe been another way to do that. There's an old there's an old set of sayings that I learned in service when they talk about Murphy's Laws of Combat, and anything that needs to be together to work can't be shipped together. It just seemed like that was a hole in the plan that maybe they could have thought of something else.
Yeah.
And my other thing was when the wheel came off the wagon. Now, I didn't see if the Whisperer had hooked it with something, but it just seems like that the wheel came off awfully easily.
Yeah. I didn't see anything of he just threw something and it looked like it just ran over it and then just somehow pulled the wheel off, or it came off.
I mean, if the lug bolt studs are that weak, it probably would have broken from, I don't know, having five or six guys and all that stereo equipment on it.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was plot induced fragility.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just cut to it quickly without explaining anything. It was just kind of like, oh, here's a guy throwing something. Oh, here it is. Wagon wheel falls off. And you're just like, oh, I guess he must have done something that.
Because, I mean, at least when they did it in the Western, they would have the shot where you'd see the hub going in and out, in and out, in and out, wobble, wobble. Oh. And then it would pop off. You know, this was just like, point quee.
Yeah. Because they just didn't have enough time.
I don't know. Oh, they spent all their practical effect budget on Beatrice.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, more on that in a minute.
Okay. My only weak sauce is I agree with everybody else. That was just, you know, the whole beta ending. It was so fast, and it was great to see, but it was just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And it was done.
Yep, I agree. It was too quick, and
very anticlimactic.
Yeah, for a fight, especially with a fight that involved, you know, because there was an axe to settle with both Daryl and Negan. So it being a three-way fight, I could see that kind of happening. But for it to end as quickly as it did, it almost seemed like it was a budgetary thing, you know, or they ran out of time, or pieces of the scenes didn't work or something like that, you know. But it was, I agree with you, Kyle, and everyone else that said it, way too quick. Mm-hmm. So, well, I already said my main negative, which was that they didn't kill anyone of consequence on, you know, our side. So, you know, I appreciated that they killed Beta, but I would have liked to have seen someone else killed. I don't understand why Daryl would stab Beta with two knives and miss the brain. Like, why did he like chop down like he did? Okay. That made no sense at all, other than for him to pull the knives out, you know? So yes, it was dramatic, but come on, Daryl wouldn't do that. He would at least with one of them get the, you know, go through the eye socket and, you know, hit the brain. I mean, he had some pretty long knives there. So there's no excuse for that.
Well, I have to go to what they said on Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. Ryan Hurst is like, what, 6'8"? 6'6".
Okay.
Ryan Hurst is a big youngin. And I don't know how tall Norman Reedus is, but
less.
Much less. But yeah, the fact of just the logistics of setting it up to where he could, I mean, he was talking about it, where he had to get him down a little bit and he had to jump to make it look right. So,
okay.
I'll give him a little bit of a pass on the,
okay,
on the stabby bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of agree with you that it seemed like it was much more for the, dramatic effect,
yeah,
of him,
yeah,
flipping him, yeah, out in front of him.
Yep, I think so too. Yeah, and the fact that they, you know, Negan called them stabby McTwo knives. I think that was part of it. I'm going to give credit to Aim for the Head for this last weak sauce, but Steve on Aim for the Head brought this up, and I was listening to their podcast today, and I have to agree. Although I loved hearing the talking heads, and to me that is such a fitting song for The Walking Dead. Only one song, like, Luke, you're supposed to be a music guy. You only had one song. Like, what, they're supposed to play for like hours, that you know, thing, and only one song, like one song in that repeating. I mean, come on, you should have had a whole playlist, you know.
He could have played Easy Street again.
There you go. Yeah, they already own that. I mean, they could have played, you know, if it was a question of them not, you know, AMC not wanting to pay for songs, you know, they could have just like played every song that they've already played. and yeah, play Easy Street, play, you know, they had that a couple of Tom Waits songs back in the day. They could have just, you know, played the greatest hits from, you know, all the 10 seasons of The Walking Dead.
They could have played Stabby McTwo Knives' greatest hits.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Yes, they could have played his songs. That would have been quite better. Ironic. That would have been. You're right. So, LT, you know what? I'm going to say this. That is a great answer. That would have made a great story. That they should have used that. It would have been perfect. Yeah, use his songs, and that would have freaked out Beta, you know? Yeah. Okay, so that definitely gives I got to give you kudos for that one.
Yeah, that would have been a better choice. And I'm just come on saying, it's just like, well, if we're looking at this in the kind of like, okay, they're in the zombie apocalypse, so it's like, well, maybe that's the only thing that they actually had since they did run to, you know, their safe place, and that was all they had, you know, the one tape or whatever, you know, whatever it was being played off of, that it's like, oh, well, this is the only song that we have. But
okay, but if that's the case... If that's the case, wouldn't they have the whole Talking Heads album or something?
No, yeah,
you know, it wasn't. Or the greatest hits of Talking Heads, you know?
They only had the single survived.
Yeah. Which would have made a story if, like, somewhere down earlier episodes, we saw them scavenging for something, and that was like the one, and like, oh, here's a cassette tape of a single Talking Heads, and this is what all we got.
What survived the zombie apocalypse? You know, Little Debbie Brownies, Cockroaches, Talking Heads album.
Anyways, I was just throwing it out there just to nitpick.
Well, I agree with you. It's like, of all the albums that survived.
Well, I think it's a great song to play. I thought it was great. But then when you start thinking about it, and it's like, that's the only thing to play?
Yeah, for, you know, however many hours until it got dark.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like
there's a conspiracy out there. You hear what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N-spiracy.
If The Walking Dead was still getting $16 million an episode... They probably would have gotten a whole bunch of other shows, but since it's getting 3 million, that's probably why. Anyway. All right. So let's move on to our what sauce.
What?
We only got one what sauce from our listeners, and that is from Dieta from Detroit. She says, I don't know. I felt like this episode was all over the place, but I did enjoy it. The tag team killing of Beta by Negan and Daryl was also awesome as well. And now we can say goodbye to the Whisperers. Woot, hoo, ding dong, the witches are dead. But then she says, this episode needed more time to finish stuff. Maggie was just welcomed back with a knife-wielding samurai by her side. nobody asked her anything. Hey, who's this? Where you been? What you been doing? Something? Connie was asleep in the woods under a bush like a sleeping beauty who wakes up and stumbles into the island guy. Like, didn't Michonne leave him stranded somewhere? I think he ended up ashore in that episode. But anyway, going back, how did he get to where our people are? I think we saw him get to Oceanside.
Yeah.
And he already knew where Oceanside was because he was there before, if you recall. And last but not least, what was with the Star Wars troopers jumping out of the train cars, pointing guns at our people? And it was a lot of them. How far did our people really travel, and how did they sneak out past all those dead and the whisperers without being seen? I mean,
this is a whole different group, so I don't know where
they
had gone much further north or whatever, trying to like find Stephanie or whatever, and then I don't know.
Like, I guess some thinking about that, like, I'm guessing that where Stephanie told Eugene to meet, maybe that was the place where her people tell people to meet. And that's why, like, they had power there, or maybe they told Stephanie, that's where you tell them to meet. I don't know. But
yeah,
it seemed like they had a setup there all ready to go because they had power. You know, they had lights and everything. So either that or they're in their territory. I don't know. But I doubt it. To me, that seems like a place that either a place they have set up for that to occur, or that they were able to get there way ahead of everybody and set that up. I don't know. Or maybe that, you know, they might have portable lighting equipment or something. Who knows? But all right. So we've got some what sauce for us. LT, what do you have?
Well, my what sauce is, so who is the Super Ninja Maggie bodyguard? You know, I heard somebody say, well, maybe it's Herschel Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
And I'm going, and I kind of did the finger math, and I said, no.
Nope.
Don't think
Herschel Jr. would be, what, 7 or something? So, well,
yeah, maybe if Super Ninja was like, what, RJ size.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I can't think of his name now. The guy that was in all the karate movies back in the early
90s. Steven Seagal?
No, the Bruce young Lee. Guy. He was like Ernie Reyes Jr.
Oh. Wow.
Showing my age. But
I said Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I know, not quite that old. But my other hot sauce was Connie. That she was so, you know, she was so scruffy when she first stood up. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to go back and look, because I don't think that's what she was. I don't think she was. That's what she was wearing when she was in the mine.
Yeah.
Unless she's like laid out in the woods for several months. And
well, and you know, that brings back thoughts of Rick in the coma, you know. How long would he be able to survive in the coma without like water, for example?
Yeah. How long would it take for his IV to run out?
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, how much time has passed?
Right.
Right.
I don't think a lot of time has passed in this. I mean, clearly a lot of time has passed since, like, we see Maggie read that letter. I mean, did she wait like 3 months before she read the letter or something?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I would think, like, since, I don't know, since the Whisper War started, like, or at least the second half started and this started, I wouldn't think a lot of time has passed, but at least a few days. I don't know. It's so hard to tell at this point because so much time has passed, you know.
the actual passage of real time has not helped the passage of TV time.
No, not at all.
Because to throw out our other thing, it's not like they put a star date on it, so we know.
No.
Yeah.
No, there are no star dates in The Walking Dead.
All we have is that, is there snow on the ground? Are the trees bare? Do the trees have leaves?
You know, that's going to be interesting, actually, because if just a little bit of a tangent here, when supposedly they're going back to shoot pretty soon, and if that's the case, you know, they're going to be shooting in probably like October, November, December. And if that's the case, we might like actually see winter, like, and not like fake winter, but actual winter.
Which they did in the comic, like way the beginning. And it's like, we've never seen that on screen other than the blizzard, basically.
Yeah.
And maybe, what, season five or right before the prison or something, we saw them. And it seemed a little cold and snowing. They were trying to survive.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was basically it.
Kyle, do you have anything for What Sauce?
I mean, I was just trying to think of, like, I think the only What Sauce I have was the fact that it was, like, I think from the time it's been that we've had to wait to watch this, it's like, I did not recognize Connie at all. I didn't even recognize Maggie. Like, I mean, I knew that, like,
oh, wow,
we saw her at the beginning and I was like, oh yeah, there's Maggie. Oh, she's reading Whispers, blah, blah. But when she popped in, like, the only reason, like, I literally did have to, like, stop and go back. I'm like, oh wait, I'm not sure who that is, but yes, it's Maggie. And it was because of her sidekick. But it, from first time I saw it, like, I was just like, oh, cool. Gabriel's being saved by somebody, you know, it's like, whatever. But then I'm like, oh, crud, that's Maggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my watch. Yeah. That was just it. It was just time that we've been living through. And it was just like, I totally, like, totally have forgotten what they looked like.
Well, and Maggie looked a little different, I would say.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Longer hair, just different kind of clothes, whatever. Yeah. It was just,
which, you know, makes sense. I mean, supposedly, seven and a half years have passed since the last time we have seen her.
Well,
in theory, you know. Yeah. So, although, like, people like Daryl and Michonne don't look like they've changed much, but one thing I can't help but think, and you know, where this is in relation to, well, I guess at this point, they don't live anywhere. They have to, you know, whether or not they're able to reestablish Alexandria as the place to live, who knows? But I can't help but think, you know, with them putting all those walkers, you know, down the cliff, they've just poisoned their water supply.
Or somebody's.
Yeah. And I know I'm not the only one, the only podcaster that's come up with that one. But and I mentioned this earlier, but I'll highlight it here again. I did not realize, I was very confused, in fact, that it was Lydia that retrieved the backpack. When I first saw this, and even in the second watch, I did not clue in that this was Lydia. I was thinking that it was someone from the Whisperers that switched sides in the middle, you know. Mm-hmm. And it may have only been in Talking Dead that it's kind of like, oh, that was Lydia. Oh, that makes sense now. Or maybe at the end of the episode, I don't know. But it was just like, I didn't even realize that it was her. So I guess that's a What Sauce, just because it could have been a little more obvious that it was her. So it could have been better. So, all right. That's it for our What Sauce. So let's move on to our sad / aw sauce, because we always get both definitions. So here we go.
Aww. And for aw sauce, we've got Deanna from Detroit, saying Carol and Lydia helping each other realize their purpose. And it's, I'll say crying sad emoji, crying sad emoji.
Yep.
Yep. Well, that was it for our listeners, Sat Odd Sauce.
And you kind of expanded on that, it looks like.
Yes, I did. My Sat Odd Sauce was they had so many tender moments, so many tender redemption scenes that they all paid off. But, you know, at the end, after everything had happened, you know, Negan and Lydia had their warm hug. Carol and Lydia at the cliff had their warm hug. And Carol and Daryl kind of got squared back up after the drugs and all the other stuff that happened between the two of them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of the, you know, the neat bow on all the interpersonal conflict we had with the good guys.
All right. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, more of the awe at the beginning of when it all started and like what, you know, Gabriel, like went up to the two kids that were like, kind of like, oh, we're afraid, or like, what's going to happen now, or whatever. And it was kind of his pep talk thing. But I thought it was cute that he was just like, oh, no, but we have like, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but he, you know, put his hand up and he was like, oh, no, but it's like, he was like, but we have, and he was like, Alexandria, Hilltop, Oceanside, and the Kingdom. But then they're like, well, who's the fifth? And there was all like, I forgot what he was said. He was just
others.
Like, the others, yeah. Which, like, did he know something with Maggie or whatever? Or he just being like, hey, yes, we have, like, I don't know. That was just like, I don't know. It was a cute because the kids were just all looking so scared. And he was just like, oh, doing his Gabriel, like, I'm going, you know, like, here's my pep talk or whatever. So, I don't know. I was like, oh, that was really cute to start the show.
Well, I mean, there are others. I mean, it could have been Michonne. Just as easily could have been Rick.
Yeah, right. It just
okay. They don't know Rick's alive.
No, but I mean, yes. There's always somebody, you know, like that. They've had an. Yeah. Anyways,
there's only one thing I can think of for sad. It's not sad, but it's awe. Was the meeting between Maggie and Judith. And I thought that was kind of awe. So, because you could see that Judith was happy to see her, that she recognized her, even though she was very young when, you know, we don't even know how long it's been since she had seen Maggie, but she definitely seemed to be happy to see her. So,
yeah.
All right. And now it is time for feedback. So, Rick, what do you have to say?
We can talk about it. Done talking. Time to listen.
Oh, shut up, Simon. All right. So we've got a voicemail from Renee from Atlanta. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Renee Murray. I'm calling from Atlanta, and I'm calling back the Walking Dead talk through Facebook page. Okay. It's like, seriously, I'm so freaking disappointed. I mean, I am super excited that Maggie Green has returned and she has saved the day because I really thought that Father Gabriel was going to be a goner on this episode, but he's still here. But like, seriously, Beta, like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm like, seriously, blink and it was it. It was like, I couldn't, like, what happened? Like, they were supposed to fight. I was expecting Negan and Bagan to throw down. And it was like, boom, bam, it's over. It's like awful, awful, awful. And I'm just going to blame it on the COVID, because that's what I blame everything on. So I'm just going to stick with it. And hopefully it's going to get better. I mean, I'm super excited that all of our guys survive. But I'm over Carol. It's like, Carol, jump off the cliff already because you're so freaking annoying. But I mean, just please, Walking Dead, get better. And I miss you guys. I'm sorry that, is it Mark? I think you said that Mark is not going to be on there any longer. But anyway, I still love you, Brian and Cal. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for your voicemail. And thank you for all your feedback this week, especially. It's been good to get so much feedback for the return of The Walking Dead and the Walking Dead universe. So I do agree with you, though. Beta's death wasn't as climactic as it should have been. Like, it was too short.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why it was so short, you know. If you think about it, the fight that Daryl had last season with Beta in that, like, elevator shaft, or, you know, that ended with the elevator shaft, that was probably a longer fight than the fight that we got this episode. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The big Daryl Beta throwdown in the apartment building, or the office building, was a much bigger fight than this last one.
Yeah.
Why, though? Why was that?
Because of the COVID.
You know, another thought, you know, we had World Beyond after it. I mean, maybe they edited some of it out because,
what I wonder,
you know, they didn't want the episodes to go like 2.5 hours or something like that.
They already started them weird, that they started the finale at like 5 till and it finished at like 10 after, some, actually it wasn't 10 after, like 7 after. It was an odd number.
Yeah. I didn't start watching the finale like on live TV until it was a few minutes in, because I had watched it already on Premiere. So I kind of, and the first part I had seen like 500 times. That preview scene, I had probably seen it like 10 times. So I wasn't like in a hurry to join the episode. So I joined the live episode a little late, but you know, when I came on, it was just as the act one was starting. But yeah, it was, I don't understand it. So I agree with you, Renee. And I think all of us do.
Yep.
And I think part of it, the reason why I think it was so disappointing for you, and I would say, I mean, I think I'm giving it a little bit of extra leeway, and Kyle with a 10, I think you are too, because we've been so like thirsty for good TV. You know, there's been such a drought of good TV over these last 6 months. That, you know, now that something's finally on, you know, we're like giving it a little bit of like bonus points almost.
Yeah.
You know,
I would amend that to say good new TV.
Good new TV. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like literally the episode was going to air the week after the last episode that we saw. And that just, like, literally, it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And it does beg the difference. Like, if we watch this as the way it was intended, like, then maybe that, you know, would have come off differently. But I do feel like that, because they did say that, like, they didn't air it because it was still in post-production. So it's like, depending on what was still needed and like whatever like shots that they had, who knows what the choices they did, they made to just kind of like get this going. And
here's the thing. Okay. So The Walking Dead, and this isn't true for Fear and it's not true for World Beyond, but The Walking Dead proper is one of the few shows that is still shot on film. So there may be additional like time that they require to do certain post-processing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is just me like hypothesizing. I don't know if that's in fact true, but I do know that they are one of the few shows that is still recorded by film and not recorded to, you know, to digital. Right. There's no tape anymore. There's no film. I might have said tape before, but what I meant was it's like Fear and World Beyond is recorded digitally. So anyway, that there may be additional processing time that's required. And although I don't know, I thought one of the reasons why they held World Beyond back was because there was something in it that would be spoiled or would be, I don't know.
Yeah, like something.
I mean, maybe certainly not in this the first episode of World Beyond, but maybe there's something coming that would spoil something that just happened. I don't know. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that at COVID, and you're right, Renee, blame it on the COVID.
Yep, I agree.
Everything, COVID has been hell for everyone. It's certainly been hell for me. So I don't know has anyone had, I'll put this out to listeners. Has anyone had a good COVID? Because I don't think that exists. But if you've had a good COVID, you know, if things have been great for you, I'd love to hear it. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, Renee. And we'll hear from you when it comes to World Beyond. So, all right, let's move on.
All right. Glenn from Toronto says, I didn't even make the connection that was Connie on the ground wiggling her fingers and wondered, who is this new character? Only later reading through the comments on the Walking Dead Talk Through Facebook page and on the Talking Dead show, I had the aha moment. It was clever to make it look like anyone who had turned up and was waking up to be a walker. I hope Virgil will help her and not imprison her like he did with Michonne to prove he's made a personality change for the better.
I hope so too. I do not want to see that.
Yep.
She goes on to say, the great Pied Piper wagon leading the dead heads with burning down the house by the talking heads. Since Beta was hallucinating that the walkers in Alpha's head were talking to him. Don't know if it was intended wordplay with the Walking Dead, the Talking Dead, and the Talking Heads.
I don't know, but it worked.
It worked. Okay. Can't blame Carol for not wanting to get close to Lydia. She hasn't had any luck so far with kids getting close to her, as they all seem to die.
So true.
Look at the flowers.
I did appreciate that Lydia was very quick to say, look, I don't need a mom. Yeah. In other words, I don't want you as a mom. You kill.
No cookies, please.
People that take you as a mom, they end up dead.
Okay. And the last comment is, Star Wars visited the Walking Dead with these stormtrooper-like soldiers that caused Eugene's tears to turn from sadness to fear. Stephanie to calm the scene in season 11, episode 1, then? Mm-hmm. Yep. His radio girlfriend's still out there.
Yeah. It could be, or maybe season 10, episode 17, or season 10,
10.5,
whatever. I don't know. I like season 10 supplemental.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next comes from Steve Cutter Blades, and he says, Lydia gains redemption by saving the day with a backpack, leading the walkers to the cliff and, unknown to the rest of the group, keeping Carol from doing something unnecessary. Negan acts like he's out of there, then props up at just the right time to gourd Beta, finally gaining the trust of Daryl. Did anybody really think Uncle Negan was going to leave Judith behind with that kind of threat around? That's a good question. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either.
Yeah. It's like
he's got to be around for when they have the Maggie Negan confrontation of why is he out wandering around?
Yeah. It's just whether or not it's just like, is he more for Lydia or more for Judith? It's like, because Judith is not part of the comics. And
definitely. Yeah, that's right.
And that's a Carl-ish, obviously, angle on that end. But it's like Lydia. Where, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about there. Well, he goes on and says, Maggie and her steel masked ninja, he's with me, walked in at just the right moment to save Gabriel. Not to mention old metalhead saving Aaron and Alden, which true. Connie is alive. That was Connie, right? Good. We're not the only one. And the final scene. This was The Walking Dead. The only thing missing, being that this was a season finale, was a major character's death. Not that I mind. I love our team, but those bite moments, the shocker where a key player suddenly goes down for good, are also the bits where they tug at our heartstrings and keep us invested in our crew. Definitely would like say I'm highlighting that, Steve, because it was like, I think what we were just talking about before was the fact that it's just like, you know, this is The Walking Dead, you know, like they had these moments where it's like every season where it's like, oh, we don't know who's going to like not make it. And then they do one of our, you know, favorites or whatever, you know, characters on that season gets ripped away from us, and it does, you know, make it hurt. I think one of the biggest like deaths that I keep always being like reminded of, just in the sense of like, oh, that feeling, and like that was kind of the shocker, this and that, it was season one with Andrea losing her sister. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't that we really got, well, we did get to know her, but it was just that moment was such a really ripping your heart out, just like to see that loss and to see Andrea react.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like where we haven't really, I mean, we have gotten that in, you know, some characters and some arcs or whatever, but it was just like that scene and that whole feeling, I haven't felt that way in a very, very long time. So,
yeah, I would agree. And that is it for our listener feedback. So, LT, looks like you have some additional notes that we didn't hear. So what do you have?
Yeah, my last thing, that's just me being pedantic, was, so where'd Gabriel get the shotgun that worked with ammo? And it was very pretty and very clean and pristine. So
he was, you know, just saving it.
and that could be very well it. But we've gone for what, since when they had the jump from when the bridge blew up to when they came back, pretty much there were no firearms. That they had all gone to bows, pikes, spears, swords, axes. And then for all of a sudden, you know, he's standing in there in the tower and he's got this beautiful, shiny Mossberg pump shotgun with ammo. And I'm just kind of going, wait a minute.
The Oceanside must have had like their little special, like, you know, special, like, you know, only, you know, members only, like,
the members only. Like, the super stash crate that they kept locked up in case of emergency.
Yeah.
And my only other thing was, I've jokingly referred to them as the First Order troopers, but the guys in the white suits at the train yard, you know, they've obviously still got guns and they've got body armor and helmets and, you know, stuff. So does that mean we're going to end up with some, you know, some pocket group that has managed to keep their tech, keep fairly intact, still be healthy, have food, have weapons, you know, maintain their security? Because when we get to it, we're going to get our big info dump during the World Beyond section. But I just am thinking to myself, okay, if there's another group out there as much rattling and moving and poking and prodding, you know, now, 10 years after the apocalypse, these guys show up. So we'll just see.
Kyle, do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Nah, nothing that comes off the top of my head.
I mean, the only thing I would say is I'm really curious what these six episodes are going to bring. From what I understand, they're going to be shot differently. They're going to be shot like COVID safe, as they, you know, and I'm doing air quotes as I say it. So they could almost be, I could see them almost being like the second half of season four. If you remember how that was shot, there were like these little, I don't know, there was pairing up of people that they would have. Like, the, you know, we saw like Daryl and Beth, and we saw like Carol, Tyrese, and the kids there. Like, yeah. I could see them doing that. But I also know that supposedly this is going to, you know, happen in 2021. When we're going to see it, I don't know. I'm thinking we're probably going to have to wait another 6 months. So it kind of sucks, but you know, I don't think it'll be on in February. Like,
yeah, no,
it I normally think, is. I think yeah. It's probably going to be at least 6 months out. I don't know. But then again, they don't have to produce a whole season. They just have to produce six. So, you know, maybe it won't take as long. I don't know.
We'll see.
But yeah, I'm thinking March or April is when we'll see it. Like April would be normally when Game of Thrones was on. I could see them like going right into that time slot, April of 2021. So we'll see though. All right. So now is where we talk about The Walking Dead World Beyond. And how we're going to do this, like, unless the show ends up kicking so much ass that we can't stop talking about it, we're not going to talk about it in the same kind of detail that we would normally do it. So, you know, we'll, if we get in feedback, we'll talk about it. Whether we're going to do it week to week, I don't know. We'll try to figure that out. But our focus is mainly going to be on Fear, and you know, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, this episode, season one, episode one, is titled Brave. It is written by Mr. Scott M. Gimple, the chief content officer of The Walking Dead, former showrunner of The Walking Dead. And, you know, it's worth saying, I mean, he gets kind of chastised these days, but I mean, the show was at its most successful when he was the showrunner. I mean, No Sanctuary, Look at the Flowers. What was the name of that episode? I'm trying to think. The Grove. You know, Us, A, all those episodes. The Wonderful Season 5, Wonderful Season 4, all of that was in his watch. No Way Out, the one where they're having to walk through the walkers at Alexandria. I love that's one of my favorite episodes. All of that was in his under his watch, but unfortunately, the gruesome deaths of Negan by Negan of Abraham and Glenn were also under his watch. So you know. Anyway, directed by Magnus Martins. And I know that he has directed some of Fear. I recognize that name, but I think he's new to directing, you know, pilots of the show, of, you know, this universe. So anyway, the description that we get from AMC.com is as follows. Iris welcomes an enigmatic ally to their community, while Hope questions the visitor's motives. A message upends the sisters' worldview, forcing them to decide between the safety of their home and the uncertainty of the world beyond. I mean, they said the world beyond. You got to use shock horror for that.
Exactly.
We don't have it written in our document, but I think I would be remiss without us giving ratings. So you don't have to like qualify them, but if you do want to qualify them, you can. out of 10, what do you give this episode, LT?
6.5.
What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, but as I rewatched it several times, I think I would push it up to probably 7.8. It kept getting better the more I kept watching it.
Well, I have not been looking forward to the show. That's, you know, I think one of the reasons why we're not making it like a full coverage thing, other than the fact that we just don't have enough time to do it. But it would have been a 5 for me, except for the last scene of the episode. So that boosted it for me. So I'll give it a 7. So I'm like, again, right in the middle with you guys, leaning a little more towards LT again. But yeah, I'll give it a 7. And like I say, if it wasn't for that ending, it would have been a 5 for me. I just didn't care for it. It looks like it has potential. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to keep watching it. And as things develop, you know, if it ends up, let's face it, if Fear ends up really sucking, you know, donkey dong, then, you know, maybe we will switch and decide to cover World Beyond.
So we'll just bail on whoever's the worst.
I have a feeling, though. I think Fear is going to be better this season. It just seems like the story that they have set up, I think, is going to pay off. I hope it's going to pay off.
I hope so
too. I don't want it to suck. So I think we're making the right decision. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm in my 50s. I don't care about young adult TV. It's just not, it just doesn't grab my interest. So, you know, I'm out of the demographic. So that's my excuse. All right. You had some notes though, LT.
Yes, I do. That was the big thing about it for me, other than the page of notes I wrote for the plot rundown type things. The reason that I wanted to give it higher is that we got a lot of information that we've been waiting for,
yeah,
or things that we've gotten niblets over. We got the big info dump on finally who are the people with the three rings.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've established that there's a colony in Portland.
Yeah.
In the, how did they put it? The campus colony of Omaha.
Yeah.
And the Civic Republic. So the CRM group is the Civic Republic military.
That's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. When Iris was talking about things, they referred to the big onset of the zombie apocalypse as the night the sky fell. And, you know, later in the episode, when they have that whole run with the crashed aircraft, you know, it kind of makes me wonder what all happened on when they considered the official night everything went haywire. Because when we watched Fear, it just seemed like it was a slow progression, that it wasn't like a meteor hit and everything went berserk from there. One thing that I noticed, when the lieutenant colonel arrived for the reception committee, there were like 4 Chinook helicopters, you know, large twin rotor cargo carrying helicopters with shipping containers sling loaded underneath them, that you saw them fly by like 3 abreast, and then the little Kiowa that the woman was riding in circled around and landed. And kind of makes me wonder, so what's in the boxes? A's and B's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, you know, a Connex box that size, you know, small rail car, that's, I mean, that's what the Terminus people were catching people in. So there's some, you know, dangly bits of questions there.
I hadn't even thought of that, but that's a good point.
Yeah. And we know that from what all they've said, because it was the 10th monument day after the sky fell. So this is 10 years in from whatever that hard point that delineate the start. So this is what, concurrent to?
Roughly. And also, I mean, if it's roughly 10 years for The Walking Dead, the main show, then we know that the apocalypse happened in 2010. So it does seem like it's probably to the day or pretty close to when the apocalypse happened. So, like, in other words, if you remember, Ruthie and I were trying to figure out like the timeline of the apocalypse, and we had basically thought it was maybe August of 2010 when it happened. So, okay, it's October. So COVID. So, you know, roughly it's on this show, it's probably August of 2020. So, you know, roughly, roughly equivalent to this time. So,
yeah. And I'll guess we can count the big kickoff is when they nuked Atlanta.
Right.
Because we can assume that they nuked Atlanta, nuked LA, they hit all the population centers at once. So,
and that's probably, maybe that's what they mean by the sky fell.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that either, so that's good.
The other bit about the Civic Republic is they never said where it was.
Nope.
It's like they have this agreement and they have this, what you call it, the Four Corners provisions or the Four Corners Accord.
Yet there's only three.
Yet there's only three that they mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other side is, she made the jokes like, and you know, greetings from the Civic Republic, wherever it is. Yes, wherever it is.
Yeah.
So we know more about them, but we still don't know where they are.
Right.
And apparently they are, you know, they are the tight-lipped, fairly draconian, back when, God, I can't remember her name, but the speech she gave Althea, the
Isabel.
Yeah,
Isabel.
But the, if you see somebody wearing this uniform, run.
Yeah,
right.
Know, the whole speech of, you know, we're not worried about you, we're worried about bigger things, or so. But the sad part for me was after all that, after all the good bits of, you know, nuggety things we learned, then it pretty much to me broke out like your classic, you know, young adult sci-fi dystopian adventure movie.
Yep.
That you had the good sister, the bad sister, the friend with the information, the friend that goes along because he's got, you know, a skeleton in the closet. And I'm just kind of going, it was just too tidy in that respect for me.
Yep, I agree. And that's, and it, the problem is that the show has been leaning very heavy in their trailers and all the, you know, information on those four. And that's the part of the series that I'm not really excited to see. You know, again, sorry, I'm not in a demographic anymore. I don't have any kids, so I can't relate. I'm not excited by that. And, you know, like, it could just as easily be The Hundred or Harry Potter or something like that. You know, it just, I don't care. I just don't. So,
well, I mean, I survived. Oh God. Hunger Games and Maze Runner and, the one with the three names that are like, close to each other.
I know the one you're talking about.
You know,
the ones that were shot in Chicago.
Yeah, it's like, you know, dystrophy, diatrophy.
No, I know, and I just totally lost the name.
Yeah. It's Edient. It's Eant.
Yeah.
What's her name? What's her name that's in the show? Let's see.
Divergent.
Yeah, yes. It. Yes.
And then it was like something else. Yeah, whatever the other three shows were. I watched that only just to watch it because it was shot in Chicago. And then I was like, wasn't really into it.
But yeah, my demographic for that has finally aged out and moved, gone to college. So,
yes. Divergent, Insurgent, and Allegiant. That's
those.
Yeah, yeah. And there was supposed to be Ascendant, and it looks like that got delayed because of COVID. So, Renee, there's another thing that
the cause of COVID.
Yeah. For me, I really doubt that they're in New York State. I think that's just
I would go over that too. But I was
either they're like somewhere in between the two, which would make sense considering the fact that we know that they have a presence in Texas. You know, so maybe they're in Colorado or something like that, Wyoming. I don't know. Somewhere in between Nebraska and Oregon. I'm guessing New York State isn't where they are.
Unless it's Portland, Maine.
No, it's not, though, because we saw a map, and at some point, I don't remember where, we saw a map, and it showed Portland being Oregon, not Maine. But yeah, if it was Maine, then it could be.
New York would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe they think that's where it is, but I'm thinking they know where Portland is. And I'm also thinking that Portland's gone. I'm thinking they already eradicated them, but who knows? The whole Skyfell thing reminded me of the show Revolution. And when I heard that, that's where I immediately went. And, that was a show that, had a lot of potential and didn't quite live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah.
That had my favorite chemical argument in it.
Yeah. The sister there, Hope, she did one of those, you know, those famous tropes. I think we talked about, the trope the other week, Kyle, you know, where if character A just told character B and maybe character C this little info detail, things would have turned out much differently. Like, for example, why didn't she say to Felix, hey, there was more than one helicopter?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. She saw that there were like six helicopters, and it seems to me if she had said something before they left, they probably would have decided that something was up, you know, and because what I'm thinking is, you know, we don't see it, but it's clear that they went in there and ambushed them. And up until you brought up the thing about, you know, the A's and the B's, I hadn't even thought of that, but that's a great thought, is that they probably took some of them and killed the rest, you know, and it seems like they probably took those helicopters and instead of like dispersing the sound, they collected the sounds and they gathered their own walker army, or in the case of this show, empties army, and sucked it into the, you know, the campus, and brought them in and, you know, used them as a, an additional, you know, because we see, you know, in that final scene, we see both empties and we see freshly dead, you know, ones that don't even have, that clearly were never zombies. So, You know?
Right.
Yeah. And I did notice that Felix and Huck, which I do want to know why she's called Huck, were wearing the three rings as well. So I guess that those three rings are not like central to just the CRM, but are central to, you know, whatever. So I guess we'll find out.
I thought they were more like just because they're like security. So they're just like, oh, here, you're kind of like, because they didn't look like they look beat up and like very.
Well, yeah, they clearly didn't have the uniform on that the rest of them had.
Right. It was just.
But they did have the little three ring thing. So
yeah.
They had the three ring thing and the vest kind of looked like a, you know, maybe they gave them some hand-me-downs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you're our special, like. Whatever here for the Nebraska campus.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. So we're going to now move into feedback. So I'm going to replay Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it. Done talking. Time to listen.
So we drew straws and I got the short straw. I'm kidding. We got a supersized feedback from Glynis from Toronto. So I'm going to read this one. She says, by her own admission, maybe a bit more than my general impression, smiley face. It was great to set the PVR. By the way, this is a slight difference between Canada and the U.S. Sometimes Canadians say things differently than U.S. And of course, because I'm originally from Canada, you know, and still I'm technically Canadian. I know this. So in the States, it's called a DVR, digital video recorder. And in the Canada, it's called a PVR, which is it personal video recorder? I don't know, personal. But yeah, I think it's personal anyway, but PVR versus DVR, weird. It was great to set the PVR for all things Walking Dead this past Sunday. And I'm looking forward to Fear the Walking Dead 2, its shambling partner in crime, on Sundays for this year and maybe also the next to run in tandem. And for that matter, I think they're starting up with Fear again. I'm not exactly sure. So when the second part of season 6 of Fear is going to come in, I don't know. But I'm thinking it's probably going to be, we're going to have to wait a while for that too. The Walking Dead World Beyond was an okay premiere, setting up the plots and stories for the next 2 years of 20 episodes. That is a difference with this show versus the previous. It's not going to be ongoing. It is two seasons and out, so we have a fixed 20 episodes, and yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. It will be interesting to see how things progress and how much of an inkling or teasing will be subjected to that we'll get to hear of what might have been faced by Rick Grimes. As the whole point of this limited 2-season series is to shed light and give some background on the CRM organization and what they've done with Rick Grimes. Yes, that should be the whole point of this. And maybe Rick Grimes will show up. That would be weird. Of which, then we'll all be primed and set up for the introduction of the first Rick Grimes movie. And I can't wait for those movies, as Rick Grimes is The Walking Dead, which could be seen at the earliest of 2023 after The Walking Dead finally ends its marathon season 11. I mean, I don't know. They haven't really given us a time frame for when the movie's going to start. I mean, for all we know, they could have started shooting it, but it was, you know, but COVID yet again reared its ugly head. So who knows? The timing of The Walking Dead World Beyond is 10 years after The Sky Fell. Chicken Little? So that would mean Rick is already imprisoned with the CRM org. So these girls looking for their father could also be heading to the same place Rick Grimes may be in. Interesting. Interesting. Is Rick Grimes instrumental in getting a revolution started against the CRM, so causing the unrest their father messaged about on the dot matrix printer and old world pager? Well, maybe. I'm just adding this. If so, what took him so long? Is what I would say. Is their father experimenting on the A's or the B's to find a cure? Which reminds me of Fear the Walking Dead season 3, when the military brothers Troy and Jake were doing their own form of Walker experiments on people. Well, I think it was just Troy, right? I don't think Jake was actually doing the experiments.
No, he was just allowing it to happen.
Yeah, but this is crazy Troy. Crazy Troy. It looks as if from Fear the Walking Dead and the destructive scene at the monument celebration that the CRM do not take prisoners, as it didn't look like all the dead lying there in front of the building was caused by those spray-painted walkers slash empties. Yeah, definitely not. So maybe we have these groups, CRM, Commonwealth, Pioneers, and the Keys, if not aligned with Pioneers already, all leading up to and heading towards a clash from Fear the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead World Beyond. Just a question on whose side the survivors from The Walking Dead, the guys and gals from Fear the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead World Beyond will end up fighting alongside. I've wondered if this, you know, this show with Daryl and Carol will have characters from all three of the shows, you know, and new characters for that matter.
Yeah.
Cause I could totally see, like, they dropped hints about New Mexico. Okay. We know that, for example, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are shot in New Mexico. So I could totally see them doing the next Walking Dead in New Mexico. So they take, you know, and we know they're shooting Fear in Texas. That's the next state over. And, you know, supposedly this is Nebraska, so that's not that far either. So I could see them all coming in and going to New Mexico and them all being part of the show. Whether that actually happens, who knows?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that the word I got was they shoot World Beyond in Virginia.
They do, but supposedly it's supposed to be Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Like they even mentioned Omaha in this.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of funny for me because the company that I work for, they're out in Omaha. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that's it for Glenis's feedback. Thank you very much. Let's move on to our next bit of feedback.
And that comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, I enjoyed the new show and will continue watching the miniseries because I do love all things Walking Dead, except for that Fear show. Smiley face, smiley face. But I am still watching to see what they have done to Morgan and why he has the red eyes. So am I right? The new show is supposed to tie into the Fear of the Walking Dead and the Rick Grimes movies and finally the Walking Dead series and give us answers. I love a good whodunit mystery. Yep, I think that's kind of the overall agreement that obviously they wouldn't be doing all these shows if they didn't have some end game. And I guess we'll have to see. I don't know. I mean, they could. Fear, I'm hoping, is going to be much better this season from some of the stuff that I've been seeing online and just kind of like what some of the first reactions from some like the press that have been like been able to see the first few episodes. It's sounding like Fear might actually be turning a corner, and that would be great.
I hope so.
We can only hope.
Yeah, so we can only hope. So,
you know, like I brought the point up last time we recorded, is that we've had times with showrunners that, and, you know, this is a second set of showrunners, but the previous set and this set have done both outstanding episodes and crap. Mm-hmm. You know, so season 5 was by and large crap. Mm-hmm. Season 6, I have some high hopes that they've set things up, that they've, you know, moved the pieces of the chessboard, and that we have the potential for having a great season. I really hope that this is going to be like season three.
Yes.
And that we, you know, going into it, we don't suddenly go like three episodes in. Why did we pick this to cover? You know, but, you know, we'll see. So, all right. We got one more piece of feedback.
The last bit of feedback we've got is from Renee from Atlanta, who says, the new show appears to me as if it's going to tie all of the shows together. And if I'm correct, I'm definitely here for it. I'm a diehard Walking Dead fan, so I will watch anything remotely connected to The Walking Dead. I'm here to the end. And it looks like we're going to get a huggy emoji, huggy emoji, huggy emoji. Besides, I have to be here when my boo comes back. Hashtag Rick Grimes. Hashtag number one fan.
I'm right there with you. I mean, for me, when this show lost Rick, it was like a piece of me died. You know, my piece of my fandom died with this show. Well, not World Beyond. I mean, Walking Dead. Because to me, he was The Walking Dead, and a show without Rick Grimes to me just didn't make sense. And, you know, to a lesser extent, a show without Carl, you know, like to me, those were the two. Well, okay. It was the three of them in the end, the Rick, Carl, and Michonne. And we've basically lost all three. Now, Michonne's not dead, but she's gone from the show. We know Rick's not dead, but everybody thinks he's dead. And Carl definitely is 100% very much dead. So, anyway, the show pre-death of Carl, this was like my most favorite show on TV. Nothing could touch it. You know, I would go back off-season and watch the show like five or six times all the way through. Like, I'm not talking about like the previous season. I would go and do a whole rewatch the whole damn show like five or six times in the 6 months that we'd have to wait. I'm not kidding. And that stopped. I actually stopped, I think, with the whole like Negan, Abraham, Glenn thing.
Yeah.
That's when that stopped. But previous to that, like I literally would watch the show like six times in a hiatus. And you know, it's still one of my favorite shows and I still love to cover it, but it's not what it was to me. Some of that I think is natural, but you know. All right. And now it's time for our news, ratings, and info. So here we go. And let's go to Shane.
Started. It was a couple weird stories on the news.
The supersized version of that. Okay, so when it comes to ratings this week, unfortunately, we've got not good at all. The Walking Dead got a 0.87 in the 18 to 49 with 2.727 million viewers. Now, that is, on both counts, the all-time low for the show. Previous low was for season 10, episode 11. Now, for that, it got a 0.92 in the 18 to 49, with, I think, 2.9-something. I can find it on here. Yeah. The previous all-time low was a 2.927 million for season 10, episode 11. So that was the previous all-time low, and needless to say, both figures were quite a bit lower than that. World Beyond, I didn't go back to look at Fear's previous ratings just to compare it, but I don't think that's even a fair comparison. So let's just look at World Beyond against nothing. it got a 0.49 in 1849 with 1.595 million. Talking Dead got, at the later date, at the later time, of course, it got a 0.20 in the 1849 with 682,000 viewers. So not a hell of a lot. That compares to the previous, 6 months ago, where it got a 0.39 for episode 15 in the 1849 with 1.389 million viewers. And there was a Talking Dead special last week, and since we have ratings for that, I'll give them a 0.09 in the 1849 with 524,000 viewers. So not too good. And you guys can see the charts on the in the document here. And if you're curious, listeners, if you are part of our Facebook group, I publish these every week. They're lovingly created by yours truly. I'm just a statistician by heart, I guess. But you can see clearly that last blue dot for season 10 is way lower than every other dot on the chart for both the rating and the total number of viewers. It did better, I guess you could say, on the Parrot Analytics numbers. So it came in, and this is, you know, previous week. So I think it will actually go up next week. So these are like a week behind. It came in seventh with 55 million average demand expressions. So that the top thing in all of TV was something I've never even heard of before. And I've never even heard of the channel it's on, YTV, something called My Hero Academia with 97.4 million.
It's anime.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. It's an animation series.
Beating out SpongeBob. So those are the two top by a wide margin. Anyway, so I expect The Walking Dead to be up there next week. And then whether Fear will show up, I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. Talking Dead this week had, it was a lot of people on there. Norman Reedus, Melissa McBride, Ryan Hurst, then from the new show, Nicholas Cantu, and then later on, Lauren Cohan came on. And it was a, you know, decent show. Of course, they're still doing the COVID variety, so it's basically all over Zoom or whatever they're doing. And they can't do it live, of course. So it was okay. And of course, it was another one the previous week with, I think Angela Kang was on there, but also, what's his name? Is it Nick Tortorella? Is that his name? And Reedus was on there again. And who was the other? Who's the person from Fear that was on? Lenny James was on. Oh. So they had people from all three shows that time. As far as news, there's this whole thing now. AMC's promoting AMC Plus. They've stopped even mentioning AMC Premier. They don't even mention it anymore. But AMC Premier is still the thing. That's what I use now. But now they're using AMC Plus. So AMC Plus is, we didn't even talk about it last week. We probably should have. It is a combination of everything that AMC has. So they've had this horror, digital, you know, pay-per-view thing called Shudder. I think IFC has a thing. Their Wii Network had a thing. So several different things, but now they're combining them all. And I think BBC America too. They're combining them all into this thing they call AMC Plus. And originally, the only way you could get it was through Dish, Sling TV, which is actually owned by Dish, and Xfinity. Now, in my case, I actually have a subscription to Sling, so I could get it. But that was the only way to get it. And if, of course, you had Xfinity or Comcast for your internet, you could get it as well. But those are the only ways. But they've just now brought on Apple TV and Prime Video channels. So you can get it through your Amazon Video. You have to pay extra for it. I think it's like $5. So it's a pretty good deal. I don't know beyond that if it's any good, but it, reason why I'm bringing it up, other than the fact that they keep pushing this, is the next story. I got this in a press release today. For the month of October, AMC Plus has the largest collection of scares, with more than 1,000 hours of the very best in horror programming from AMC's annual event, Fear Fest. Shudder, AMC Network's premium streaming service for horror, thrillers, and the supernatural, and IFC Midnight's best genre cinema from independent, foreign, and documentary films, all available uncut and uncensored. In addition to the largest slate of classic horror movies, such as Friday the 13th and Halloween, AMC Plus will include commercial-free early access to all series within the Walking Dead universe and AMC's Eli Roth's History of Horror Season 2, new Shudder programming, including Joe Bob's Halloween Hideaway special. I have no idea what that is. The Creep Show animated special, and much more. So they were pushing this in a press release today. Obviously, that is lots of marketing speak, but seems like a pretty good deal for $4.99. I don't know.
Yeah, I was considering, because I'm not on AMC, you know, Plus or, you know, like, or Prime or whatever that you're on, but it's like I was thinking about it, just be able to watch the shows, you know, several days before they actually air.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, because of the thing that I won't ever say, like, I don't want to have to pay for it whenever I want to just watch it live. But if it's already, I can get to it with Apple TV or Prime, which I have both. So it's kind of like, yeah. Okay, well, it's not, seems like a very,
yeah, like, for example, I don't get it this way, but my CBS All Access, which is of course becoming Paramount Plus, you can get it through the Amazon Prime Video channels, and I don't get it that way.
Yeah,
but do I. Yeah, but that is an option, and I've tried it that way, and so, but right now I actually paid for 12 months of Premiere. So I don't know, unless I want to, like, you know, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Then I don't think I see myself switching to Plus, at least for now, but rather than getting Premiere, you know, next time that Premiere comes out, I'd probably switch to Plus, you know.
I wish there was a way to, like, transfer them, because it's like,
yeah, I don't understand. That's what's annoying,
because I have, you can get, what, yeah, I have CBS All Access, but I bought it a long time ago.
Right.
But it's like, why can't I just get that, can I just log in through Apple TV and, like, not have to pay for it, or Prime? Well,
I don't know how Apple does it, but I have a separate CBS All Access account. And I watch it through my Fire Stick.
Yeah.
So I do have a Prime account, but it's just the base Prime account. Right. I don't have anything else on it.
Right.
And then I've got my All Access and, you know, Hulu, Netflix, whatever, right, through the Fire Stick.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still through the individual app, though. Like, I mean, right. Yeah, it's right. The CBS All Access app. Because, yeah, my Samsung TV, I have my little app thing on there, and I have a CBS app, you know, Access app on the Samsung's, you know, that part of it. But then I can also access that through my Roku, through Apple, or, yeah, on, you know, through the actual app itself. But it's just annoying, because, yeah, I'm like, oh, why can't I just get it all into one thing?
Well, I mean, that's the kind of cool thing, you know, and it seems like Apple TV, I don't have an Apple TV, but I do have the Apple TV app on my Roku. I don't know if you can do it through that or if you need the actual device, but like I do have a Fire Stick, and of course I do have on my Roku, there is the Amazon app, and you can like, I have, like I said, I have gotten the CBS All Access at, you know, channel for a while. I got it for a month just to try it. And I know Ruthie, that's how she accesses CBS All Access. So anyway, I like the idea of this. And I, from this, it sounds like, and I didn't get a chance to look at this, like the problem with getting it through Dish, Sling, and Xfinity, you had to have those accounts just to get AMC Plus.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that like you, like basically up until they originally, they didn't even have Sling. I think they just had Dish and Xfinity. So you needed Dish and Xfinity TV. Like you had to have an account through them to get to access AMC it, Plus. Yeah. But now you, I don't know for sure, but it sounds like you don't. So that means you could get AMC directly through Amazon, which would be great. So in other words, you wouldn't need to have a cable subscription to it, because that's the problem with AMC Premier. You need to have a cable or a satellite subscription. And if you don't, you can't use Premier.
Right.
So, you know, anyway, that's cool.
Streaming. It's like this is, we're living through this whole streaming like mess because they haven't quite figured out what the best way to do this.
No,
they should just be able to like, hey, I want this and I should be able to get it however I want, and not because I have a cable subscription or I have like, you know, I have YouTube TV. I used to have Xfinity, but it's like, oh, but I'm like, I can only access certain things with that. And if I want something else, I have to go through Amazon or Apple TV, right. You know, it's like, and then you get too many streaming services and it just gets convoluted. Like hopefully they will figure something out that is a little bit more simple and you can just be like, I'm sticking with one app, one thing that gives me everything.
Yeah. Cause it's getting back to where when you used to have to buy a new tier of cable to get one channel. And somebody said, well, now that we've gone this way, we can do a la carte and you can just buy individual channels of what you want. And now we're sort of getting to the point with all these streaming services is something's got to give, because it's getting to be like, to get everything you want, it's like having freaking cable again.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Yeah.
It's
I agree.
It's not consumer friendly.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing that we need is the ability to get what we want, and we can't seem to get that yet.
Well, all I worry about is if we start having another round of acquisitions and mergers, and we get, you know, Hulu, Flix, Knee Plus, you know, you end up with one big streaming service. And the problem with that is to even bare my soul on another genre, that in order for me to see the snarky English guy in the magic phone booth, I'd have to get another streaming service.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's untenable now, but the problem, if you get some better solution, is the medicine going to be worse than the disease?
Yeah. All right. So that's it for our episode, Supersize, covering two different episodes. So, Kyle, why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
All right. We would like to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find us at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. And we also have our feedback form. You can find that at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. Call us at 216-232-6146 to leave a voicemail. And also, just a reminder, all our new episodes are on YouTube. So search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe to us and click on the bell to get more, to get the notification that we have a new video. Those videos do go up first before the podcast does. So if you want to get it as soon as it hits, that's the best way to do it. To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is in our new Patreon. If it's it's not really new. I know. It's like, I think I copied and pasted this from like an old Fear episode. You can support us. We have our Patreon. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum and Lawrence Todd.
Hey.
I get a little deja vu about us doing the Lord X podcast when your name comes up.
Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review.
You can also leave us a review on podchaser.com. Some podcast clients also feature that in the app. But basically, you can rate and review not just the whole podcast, but individual episodes. And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get new listeners. So it's also worth saying that next week, the Star Trek Discovery podcast will be returning, as Ruthie and I will be covering Star Trek Discovery Season 3. But if you want to listen to Kyle and I right now, we are just finishing up our coverage of Star Trek Lower Decks, which is the new animated show that's on CBS All Access, covering this new Lower Decks show. And our guest on that last episode we did was none other than LT. So,
yay.
Yeah.
Yay. And yeah. I had a ball doing that one.
Yeah, it was a great episode that we had to cover as well. So, worth saying, we say this all the time on the other show, but if you are planning to listen to and watch Star Trek Discovery, and you may be on the Picard cast feed, switch over to the Discovery cast feed, because that's the one that will have Star Trek Discovery on it. So, and there is a Patreon for that. It's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. So, we've done like 8 episodes on that Patreon. So we just did one that came out just last week. So our next episode will be covering Season 6, Episode 1 of Fear, The Walking Dead, titled The End is the Beginning, with probably a little bit of coverage of World Beyond Season 1, Episode 2. Don't know the name of it yet. We don't know who has written The End is the Beginning, but it's probably Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, because they're the showrunners. It is directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, that we know. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.